welcome, Judy. So we're going to open it up for sharing, going to open it up for comments. What do you think? I mean, the first time I translated it into my personal life, I got uncomfortable immediately. I thought, I don't want to look at this. But somebody asked me to do a freaking workshop. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, no, and I don't do this, and I haven't done that, and I really don't want to know that because I want this. And if I look at that, I may not get this. So I even get controlling by myself. I don't know about you, but I was like, oh, this is an interesting thing to look at. I have to consider more than just what do I want and what's going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
I got to get into reality. That's basically what that was. Yeah. So stick your blue hand in the air or chat or it's open for sharing. Questions, experiences, things you've always wanted to ask and want to know. Joy.
Judy, I just wanted to ask you, now that you've made the move, what is the most benefits that you found from being there? I know you kind of said that you kind of loved the area and you made new friends, but is it really like really made you feel really good about your decision?
Yes, it did. I still see my friends from Hawaii because I can go back and forth and I talk to them on Zoom. It's really nice. We have a Zoom meeting every week now. Before this, I would go back and forth occasionally. But the thing that's really important to me here, my kids are close. Since I've been here, I've had a couple of day surgeries, you know, cataracts and removed, and I had a knee surgery. And it was nice because my daughter was close enough that she could come up for a couple days, and yet I'm not next door, so I didn't have to babysit when the kids were young, and it's just made a big difference. I've had a lot of friends here. I've got a lot of things that I can do. I can travel. We've got a group here in my neighborhood that we like to do day trips. We take a day trip and go someplace, and that, you know, keeps us busy. So there's just, it's been a real nice change. Thank you for the question.
Mary is asking in the chat, did you experience any regrets and did KBDM help?
KBDM I don't know what I would have done without it because I wouldn't have thought about some of the things that came to light. I really have not had any regrets. I did when I was in the middle of the move and having to lug boxes around. I thought that was crazy because I was 72 when I moved. And so, and we had moved a lot, but we'd never had to pack ourselves up and move. And so it was really nice. My kids weren't there to help, but I had the pod and they let me take as long as I wanted to fill it. And when I got here, my grandkids came up and helped me unload it. So that helped too. And my son helped me load the heavy stuff in the pod. But that was the hardest part. It was very stressful making things, everything went like timing. And then going back and cleaning out the house for the final time and putting it on the market, that was probably the most stressful time there was because there was still a lot of things that I had left in the house. And, you know, you don't think about the attic when you're moving, but the attic was full and, oh, boy. But anyway, we got over that and I brought my daughter back to help me and we had a big yard sale. And so have I regretted it? No, I'm really happy that I made the move, but it was a big move.
Thank you. Gretchen.
Hi, you guys. This is Gretchen in Los Angeles. The knowledge-based decision-making by myself often is a little tree that I draw, if yes, if no. And, you know, what we wish we knew but don't, for me, is an indication to move slowly with really big decisions, to pause action until serenity enters, that I often am motivated out of fear you know, future tripping to consider things that I actually have no information about, and that in waiting and letting people talk to me and discussing, and even my feelings change. So sometimes I write out that little decision tree several times. But another aspect of that is, you know, take what you like and leave the rest, and that we can get outside information. And the thing that annoys me greatly is at the bottom of page 137 on the 12 by 12, it says, don't discount the message just because you don't like the messenger. So I can get good information from a bad source. And I need to keep my ears and eyes open and try and separate out the information I'm receiving and see if it fits me, and maybe even revisit it. So thank you very much for your story. I relate to it a lot. Thank you.
I didn't realize how many choices I had. I think like the tree idea, because that kind of is like a funnel that, you know, can branch out from one to another. And that's kind of what I did, but the tree picture is really good.
You're muted.
Patrick, you're unmuted. Go for it.
Judith, a few years ago, I moved from where I grew up in Al-Anon to Nevada. And first thing I had to learn was you say it Nevada and not Nevada. But the other thing I found was they didn't do Al-Anon right. Did you find the differences on how Al-Anon is done in Texas from where you grew up in Al-Anon?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because one of the things that was on my list of criteria was that I knew they had good meetings and I knew that they had a good service structure. And I had traveled around and knew a lot of the people in the service structures, and I knew that this was one of the places that they had good meetings. And so, I mean, they have good meetings everywhere, and you can find different meetings. When I got here, there were two meetings that I jumped on right away. They were both daytime meetings, which I had never gone to daytime meetings before. And there were a few little things, but I knew better than to, you know, I knew I had to accept the way it was. And it was a little difficult at first, but I knew that what I was getting into. Now they've straightened up.
I wish you would tell the story about writing the check. I love that story. Do you remember that you told me that?
Which one?
About the appeal letter and how you got your checkbook out and you started writing the check, although they said, don't worry about it. And you're like, no, I still want to contribute.
Oh, yeah.
That every time and set the example.
Yeah, because they thought the appeal letter was for group contributions.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is when I walked into one of the meetings, there was about 20 people there, I guess it was. And I introduced myself and that I was new in the area. And one of the longtime members came up and gave me a newcomer's packet. And I thanked her. It was nice. It was a nice gesture. I was glad to see that they were doing that.
Right? Love that. Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I'm sitting here pretty amazed. I think you've been my trailblazer, Judith, because I have been trying to decide on a relocation and selling my house and where to really relocate and all of that. I'm in Northern California in Sacramento, and I've lived many years in Southern California as well. That's actually where I grew up and where my heart is, but I can't afford it there anymore. So part of the reason that I want to move out of state is financial. But I'm also very excited about it. I too came from a military family, so I'm used to moving. We moved a lot. I went to many different schools as a kid before we finally settled in Southern Cal. Anyway, interestingly enough, a lot of the questions that you have addressed, I have looked at and have been looking at for a while because of COVID, I can't jump into anything. So I'm sort of forced to take a look at things, to consult my higher power every day, to be willing to wait, to be willing to not know, all of those things that you talked about. But I'm lucky to have friends in so many places. I have a friend who's moved to Tennessee, one in Florida, one in Georgetown, Texas, one in Oregon, Idaho. So I've been looking online in lots of different places. And interestingly, I have fallen upon Florida and Texas, and then slowly narrowed it down, at least on the internet, to Georgetown, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And part of course, one of my needs is to have a really strong Al-Anon community there for me. And so I'm really, really happy to know that you are there and to hear that there is a strong community there. And all of the things that you mentioned, I have written down again, even though many of them I have already looked at, because I don't think I can look at them too many times.
I know.
And I've still got time because we've still got COVID. And I'm really not willing to sell my house and have people parading through here. I'm 70. So, you know, in that age group, I'm not willing to expose myself until we get a little bit more squared away with that. But anyway, thank you so very much. My jaw dropped when you started on this.
That is so funny. I'm going to put my email address up here. So if anybody, you know, wants to write questions afterwards, that's fine. Or contact me too, and I'll give you some ideas.
That's great. I would absolutely love to do that because I have a feeling I will meet you someday in Georgetown.
I hope so.
Yes. So blessings. Thank you so very much. What a.
Laura.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Thank you so much. I talk about knowledge-based decision-making and information. I really appreciate it. It's so interesting because this conversation for me is exactly the vote for Zoom to stay on. I feel like I have seen places in the world and listened to the meetings from people all over the world. I say, I can move there. I can move there. I can move there. And, you know, I did a lot to expand the phone bridge and, you know, like 12 years ago. And one of the things that's happened for me is that two of my dearest friends who happened to come east, I'm from New York, and we had a phone bridge relationship, and now we have a person to person, but as well as the phone. And the last thing is my sponsor just moved to California, and it has been very, I can't say traumatic, that would be too big a word, and what I've learned in this program is to not use bigger words than will make me even feel worse than I already feel. But what's so great about the Zoom meetings is because I can even see her, and instead of just being, in fact, I think I should... I'm not looking because I didn't do my hair and I don't have makeup on, but hi. Is that my relationship with her, because of having her, and I have actually sponsees on the phone bridge and people from Zoom. So I think this conversation, and because I'm such a strong voice to keep Zoom, even if we go back to the rooms, exactly for this reason, I'm also in my 70s. And I, you know, and there is for me tremendous fear about thinking about moving, especially what's been happening in New York. It's not like a ghost town, but it's certainly changed. And I feel like I have a very strong Al-Anon community because of Zoom and the phone bridge. And that I don't, not that I don't want to see people face to face, but I do see people face to face. You know what? I'm going to just say hello so you can see me face to face. Hello. Hi. Being I'm having a conversation about face to face, but that's enough. Anyway, I just want to thank you. And you know, you are my family. And wherever I live, I know that one or all of you will be my friend, because friendship is different in Al-Anon. It's not about social. It's really about deepening our recovery with each other. And what's more intimate than that? So thanks. And thanks, Yvonne, for your always rolling up your sleeves and getting the job done. Really appreciate your commitment to this worldwide fellowship of Al-Anon. Really, thank you so much.
You know what's nice in Al-Anon, you travel around and wherever you go, you have friends. And it's going to be even more so now because we've so many of us have met each other on this Zoom that, you know, if I go to Nevada, I'll look for Patrick. You know, you never know where we're going to run into people.
You're muted, Yvonne.
Cindy?
Oh, hi. Hi, everyone.
I was muted. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone, and thanks, Judith. So I was considering how much the decision-making process would change if you had just one other person, you know, besides yourself. And obviously wouldn't change as much as if you were in a group, but that it could change slightly if you had to obviously had to consider one other person. That might make it a little bit more challenging, I think. One of the things that I like to look at when I'm really being honest with myself is if in making a decision about something, you know, is if I'm kind of like running away from something like as in a fear versus running to something as in I'm going to try to improve my life by doing this. And then the third thing I wanted to bring up, and it sort of is a tail on what one other gal was just saying, is that, you know, I can investigate and research something and just spend so much time investigating, you know. And I mean, in the past, you know, I kind of learned that sometimes that was in an effort for me to get power where I didn't have power. And it was sort of like the illusion of control. But in making decisions for myself, you know, there comes a point at some point where I feel like, okay, just make the decision and then I have to trust higher power. So sometimes it's like a fine line for me. Like at what point do I stop my investigating and just go forward and say, you know, HP's got me no matter what, you know? So that's it. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. We used to call that analysis paralysis.
Yep. Thank you, Cindy. Julia.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to go back to that question, what I wish I knew but don't. Because for me, that is just sends me into projecting. So it's a very dangerous question for me as an Al-Anon person. I wanted to sort of hear more about, because I loved the other shares, the previous shares about pausing and moving slowly and often motivated by fear and the decision tree. But I'd like to hear more from you about that particular question.
I'm sorry, I've been running the Al-Anon workshop.
What do I wish I knew but don't?
You know, we only know what we know. That's what really is the bottom line. But what I knew that I think it's spurred on from another question a lot of times. I knew I didn't want to leave my doctor or my dentist. And what I wished I'd known is, where could I go to get the same kind of service and the same kind of professional attention that I was getting from them? That's what I didn't know. That was just a good example. I didn't know, I knew I had, you know, my basic finances, but when it comes down to how much money that, you know, is out there in that realm, that just kind of throws me into an oblivion. So what I had to do was to find the resource and to talk to people about what I really had and what I could do, and to make a proposal and see where I was at on that, because I just didn't know. I really didn't know. I knew if I could write a check and come in, I'd be fine. But, you know, to look at that, what's the unknown, and what you got over here, what's possible, I didn't know. That's the kind of thing. I know there's some people on here that can probably answer that as well, if not better than I can. I see them right now. So if anybody else has an answer, you know, I would love to have you answer that for her.
Okay. If you have an answer, we'll come across you. I'm going to go on to Sandra.
Yeah. Hi again. I would like to say thank you so much for what you've gone through, and it's an eye-opening for me because, well, I make most of my decisions based on my emotions, mainly fear. So if I'm scared of something, then I won't do it, and if I'm, fear can make me do something or not do something, just, for me, the most complex thing is if we're two people and trying to make a decision on what to do. And I say yes, and my partner says no. And then sometimes it's easier to be a group of an uneven number, and then there's a vote and the majority rules. And then it's sort of very complicated. I would love for us to go to counseling, to therapy, and he says no. And my sponsor says it's so easy for the person saying no, and then the conversation just sort of ends there. So if she wants to have an extra child and her husband says no, well then end of discussion. And she says that doesn't sort of, then your voice isn't being heard or your dreams aren't coming true. So how can you continue a discussion if you're so, if you disagree so much and one person is very strongly saying yes and the other one is very strongly saying no, how do you have any tips on how to move forward?
You know, were you here for the last presentation, the first one? I think you were, weren't you? One of the things that I talked about was my husband was a no person. I could say anything and it was no. And I realized after I'd been in Al-Anon for a while that was his MO. If he didn't know about it, it was just no. And so what I after I'd been in Al-Anon a while and heard people share, I realized that he had to be brought into the process. And so what I started doing, and it was the most effective thing I felt like I was so smart. I said, I don't want you to answer me today, but there's something I've been thinking about and I want you to listen to me. And so I'd tell him what I was thinking. I said, let's just think about it. I said, I don't even know if I'm going there or not, but just let's think about it. And it was amazing because if I gave him 3 or 4 days, he usually had a few questions, and then he felt like he was brought into the conversation and into the decision too. So it kind of goes back to that knowledge-based decision-making, planting the seed and letting it grow, and just having the introduction to, like somebody said, what was it they said? We'll have a meeting and we'll just talk about this. We're not going to take a vote. No answer, you know, we're just going to have a discussion. There are a lot of people that you can't have a discussion. You have to have an answer before you have the discussion. And, you know, everybody doesn't have a program that we have. Yeah.
Thank you, Judy.
Yeah.
So true. I had to learn Bambi in the headlight just because I'm fast. Bambi in the headlight gives me the call 24 hours later. What happened yesterday at that district meeting? I'm like, you weren't there? Well, it just occurred to me. And I had to learn to give Al-Anon time. And I had to learn to take time, give other people that time so we could come into the room equal, all informed, and all had our process. Just because I have it in 5 minutes doesn't mean somebody else cannot have 5 days. And that for me is hard. But it's also hard for other people to want to engage and have that process so they can come halfway to where I'm already at. And I'm not always there, but two personalities are different in Al-Anon.
Well, the other thing too is silence doesn't mean they don't have anything to say.
Yeah. Jamie, I just lowered your hand. I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute you. You stick it up again.
Raise hand.
There you go.
Raise hand. You're unmuted. Go for it.
Okay. Judy, thank you very, very much for this portion also. I really appreciate it. My husband and I know that in the next at least 4, maybe 5 years at the most, we're going to be moving somewhere from Southern California. We take care of his 97-year-old mother, and so it hinges on that. But this really gives my husband and I a more of a focus on what we need to look for, or what our parameters would be. Might be a little bit different from yours, but we've been looking, you know, all over on Zillow and different locations, and we really don't know. We know what we want in a house, but we I hadn't thought about the other options that you have in there. So I'm really looking forward to getting this presentation. The other thing that I want to say is that my feet were stuck. You know, my lips were moving, but my feet were stuck because I didn't want to leave the fellowship that I've been here so many decades in Southern California. And it's like my family, because I don't have any family around here other than Al-Anon. And so I was stuck with that. And because of Zoom, out of the seemingly bad comes the seemingly good. Because of Zoom, I realized that I can do without that community, because there's community all over. You know, I've been to meetings all over the country, and I feel comfortable. And I, you know, I like being on those other meetings. Not that we'll always be Zooming, but it gave me the insight to see that Al-Anon is Al-Anon wherever I go, and I'll be able to find those friendships again and continue to keep the ones I have here. Like you said, you know, you found a way to travel with your Al-Anon friends or your friends in Hawaii, and I'm sure I'll be able to do the same. So this really has been encouraging for me. So thanks so much, Judy.
Thank you, Jamie. George.
Yes, ditto. Thank you, Judy. It's been really great to have the bigger picture of KBDM, and I love some of the examples because I was kind of watching from afar while you were working your way through that. And what I'd like to ask is, somebody a little while back asked about, like, the things that you wished you had known that you didn't know. And I wonder if you could give us an example of something that you didn't know that the KBDM process brought to light. And did you think of it? I guess the real thing I'd like to know, did you think of it yourself, or was it something that you heard in one of those conversations? You mentioned you talked and talked and talked to lots of people. So could you give an example or two of things that you became aware you didn't really know, but they turned out to be very important things in your decision-making? Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks for the question. One of the things that I think I didn't know, when I was talking about moving, I thought, well, I'll move out of this big house, because it was an old house that had a lot of maintenance on it. And I mean, it was always ongoing. It was always something. So I thought, I'll move into a new townhouse or a condominium, and that way I won't have all of this maintenance and all this upkeep. And so I had no clue what the HOA fees and the maintenance fees were on these things. And I thought maybe $200 or $300 a month. I thought, well, I can live with that. So when I went to my financial advisor, I told him that I was thinking about moving, and I was thinking about a house, a condominium, a townhouse, because the townhouse and the condominium options in Hawaii at that time were fairly doable. Well, he filled me in on what costs they were. And he told me, he said, Judy, you'll never have your house paid off. You'll never own it, because even if you go in and pay cash, you still never own it, because you have these fees. And so he looked up some for me that he knew of people that he was counseling. And they were astronomical. They were probably more than my house payment here for every month. And so that is something I had no clue about. And the other thing that comes to light is I wish I'd known, I was considering an international trip. You know, they always say don't move someplace because you had a good time on a vacation. There were several vacation places that I loved and I thought I knew they were inexpensive and I knew that I could probably work my way in as far as learning the language. But when I found out that the medical, I have TRICARE medicine and because my husband was retired military and I have Medicare, I found out that those always didn't transfer with me when I was out of the country. And so I had no clue about that. Once I found that out, those two things were off the table. And so, everything that I found out that I didn't know was through talking to other people. I mean, I talked to a lot of people. And so, there were just a lot of hints of things that I knew to cross off the possibility list. I was going to have somebody move me and I found out how much that cost. And so that's how I got into somebody suggested the pod. And so that's how I got into that type of a move.
Thank you, Judy. Beatrice, can you mute yourself? Beatrice, you have your hand up. There you go.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I listened to the tools about my. I'm working for with my therapist, and I have a problem with my health. my sponsor. My therapy, he want to work with me on my childhood, but my sponsor said, "Oh, I think so. That's very hard now because you healthy is you have sick and you can work. You're not ready for work that now." But my higher power put me the like I feel like he put me the tools where. For work my childhood, but I don't know, that's my scare. I want work that part in my life. And sometimes I say it's true, I have problems for my health. I have to focus in and recovering first and later work my therapist about my and I feel like I can make decision. I can it's important for me to everything, my healthy, my working, my program, my childhood too. I have different opinions and different, and I don't know how how make my decision there. I don't know. It's my or is something in something like maybe I don't want it work that part. Sometimes I feel like it's. It's important for me, but sometimes I'm so confused. Today I have to make the letter for my letter me, I'm scared making the letter, starting to do that exercise for my therapist, give it to me.
You know, one of the things that I learned and that I've learned in Al-Anon is when I'm trying to force a solution, it's usually not the right decision. And that's where the prayer and meditation comes in. And I think sometimes, you know, that's what I was afraid was happening with me. I was trying to force it. That's why I kind of backed off. But when I got that nudge, I knew it was time, and things became very clear. So what I'm trying to say is, I think if you just keep going to Al-Anon meetings and you know, working on your steps, those decisions come easier.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Anybody else? I don't see any hands up. Y'all done? Y'all got what you needed? Got all your questions answered? Well, then I'm going to say thank you to Judy. Thank you. Thank you so much for willingness to do this. There's never enough KBM to go around, in my opinion. And I saw in the text that somebody says, where is it? Somebody